Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Hey, how you doing? How you feeling, Revival Life fam? How you feeling, Revival Life fam? How you feeling, Revival Life fam?
Good.
Tell somebody near you, the anointing's going to get you today. Tell them. Come on, the anointing's going to get you today. Now turn and look at your other neighbor and say, Holy Ghost, whack him. Whack him good. Whack him good. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Set your hand if you would. Father, we thank you for this offering. Man, I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in the lives of your people. I thank you for the businesses that are springing up out of these offering baskets, Father. I thank you for the businesses. I thank you for the prosperity. I thank you for the homes. Thank you for the homes, Father. Thank you. I even think, I believe people are going to even receive rental properties.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, today we're praying that people had homes. The day is coming where they'll have multiple rental properties. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you, Jesus, that it's coming. Thank you, Jesus, that we can trust you with our finances. You richly supply all our financial needs.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. You have plenty of money. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Ha. Thank you, ushers.
We're
going to
receive
offering. Oh, yeah. Ha. How you doing? Worship was pretty good, right?
It was good.
I was having a good time right there, seeing Jesus. I forgot y'all were here. It was just me and Jesus. You know what that's like? You know, just me and Jesus. I don't even know if y'all are here. I'm stalling a little bit. Our usher's got to take care of some things. But I'm really excited about today. I'm excited about lots of things. I'm excited about the Christmas party because I've heard about a couple surprise skits that are happening. And I'm pretty excited about it. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Kripma? So if you haven't got your tickets yet, when can they get it? This week, and that's it?
And next Sunday.
Next Sunday is the last Sunday. Mm-hmm. All right.
You do not want to miss out.
All right. Is anybody believing they're going to flow in financial prosperity?
Yeah.
All right. See these people if you can't afford a ticket. Yeah. Because they're looking for places to sow.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want. All right, here's what we're doing now. I have a very, very good friend of mine in town today. I'm going to bring the Word of God, Pastor David Copeland. We're going to bring him up in 1 second. I just want to tell you a little bit about our relationship. And way back in the day, honey, remember when I first met Pastor David? Way back, he was an online friend, believe it or not in a chat room or anything weird like that. But it's not really a young girl you're talking to. I don't know if you know that. Young man, when you're looking for a relationship, it's not a young girl you're talking to. It's not a Russian model. It's an older man. I hate to burst the bubble. Oh, look, people are leaving. They're upset about it. No, I'm joking. Hey, listen. So Pastor David had a ministry, still has a ministry called Revival Now. And he, I used to follow his website because he would be traveling. And one day I just sent him an email. I was just like, how can I do what you're doing? So I wanted to itinerate, wanted to travel, wanted to just bring revival to nations. It was on my heart. And we just kind of connected off of that. And at the time, I believe I was a volunteer youth minister at that time, right?
I think so.
And I was a volunteer youth minister, and we just began to talk. He used to pray for me. And I got a ministry opportunity in Georgia, and I was going to go into full-time ministry in Georgia in youth ministry. And he began praying that not to happen.
Yeah.
And how many of you know you need people in your life who encourage you and discourage you? We need to open and close doors. Amen? And he was good for providing some closed doors in the spirit. I didn't know. That
was wisdom.
I don't know what that had even been like. Anyway, so as time marched on, started a ministry, obviously. And at the time, it was really funny. We just didn't have anybody in our corner. And the only person in our quarter was Pastor David. And that was it, literally. My wife and I were alone. And it was Pastor David and Pam were our only encouragers. And he would pray with us. He would come and visit. He would give me encouragement. He would email. And I was slowly, my heart was turned towards itinerating into being a church pastor. And as we switched to Sunday mornings and just really called ourselves a local church, encouraged us the whole time, sowed into our lives. It's been a blessing. And here's some of the things that I really, really was blessed by his ministry. When I was going into ministry, I had these illusions of grandeur. And I wanted to be ordained by some big name somebody. And slowly but surely, God began to show me I like impartation. I want impartation. We're having an impartation service tonight at the office. I'm believing people are going to get something. Amen. I'm going to get something. I got whacked by a music stand on Friday, so I'm expecting something a little different Sunday night. But you can have the whole world lay hands on you, and you can have every anointed person who comes through South Florida lay hands on you. It's not going to put you in your destiny. You're only going to get in your destiny when you begin to hear God's word for your life and begin to walk in it. And you allow the idol of ministry to fall, and you let your purpose come forth. And what really blessed me about Pastor's ministry was that he would, at the time he had an RV. You missed the RV or no? No? Well, a little bit? Okay. She doesn't. They used to get in this RV, and it was not when you think RV, don't think of like the luxury things you see on TV. And they would drive 16 hours to minister to a church of 20 all weekend, or for 4 days of, you know, to try to spark this church and drive home, and there's no possible way you're making money that way.
Right.
But their heart was, I'm just going to go wherever Jesus sends me.
Amen.
And it's very antithetical to what you see in charismatic Christianity today, where people feel amazingly led to where the money is.
Yeah. Right.
And they would just, wherever God led them, and they have this entrepreneurial spirit on their ministry, that they would just go to Guyana and start a work. And they would just go year after year after year. As of late, they've been to Kenya. How many times have you been to Kenya now? He's been to Kenya 27 times. I don't think I've been to Boynton 27 times. You know how long it takes to get to Kenya? You know, if you want to minister there on Monday, you're already late.
Yes.
You can't get there now in time to minister on Monday. You know what I'm saying? Like 27 times. And they've started a ministry school there. And I'm sharing all this with you, number one, so that you would just honor him. And number two, so you would recognize this is good ground to sow into.
Amen.
We're preparing for an offering right now. And I'm unashamed in telling you. The church is going to sow into his life as well. I personally am sowing. We've already written out our check. But we're going to have an offering. He's been to Kenya 27 times. And here's the way international ministry works. When you have a crusade overseas, you pay for everything.
Yes.
So I get all kind of invitations to Pakistan, to India, to all over Africa. They say, hey, let's have a crusade. And what they're saying is, why don't you come here and pay for a crusade?
Right.
And as inviting as that sounds, I don't feel moved to do that. But he goes wherever the Spirit leads him. And he started a whole ministry school there. And I believe this last semester in Kenya has 150 pastors. People already in ministry who don't have the Word of God in them. And they have the Lodwar, Kenya, is that right? Yeah. I know some Kenyan. In Kilgore. This pastor's ministry training school, 150 pastors are enrolled. And they don't pay for it. He pays for it. And he goes to churches of 30. That's not paying for Africa. And so what I'd like is for us to pay for it.
Amen.
Amen.
He got back from Africa. When did you get back?
Last week.
He was in Kenya a week ago. He's going back in December. This is what his life is like. He's pouring his life out for Kenya. And so, somebody's got to pay for the church in Africa to be established.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Somebody paid for the church in Boca Raton to be established, and it wasn't us.
Yes.
As much as we like to think that we're, you know, trailblazers and we're doing a new thing, Christianity was here before us.
Amen.
Right? Like, we didn't convert the natives here, you know? You know, it was already here. But in Africa, he's establishing something. And I want to let you know, people who don't believe the same thing that we believe, they're working hard to establish their something too. They're working hard to establish a strong religion, anti-charismatic, no gifts, no presence, And we just believe that the Spirit of God wants to move in that whole continent.
Amen.
Jesus likes to move among the least of these. And so we're going to have an offering for revival now. Did I miss anything, honey?
I don't think so.
All right. So if you would, Mike, can you play a little keyboard? Because we're going to tug on heartstrings. We might even dim the lights. I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to do every manipulative thing that we can do to get you to give. Now, if you're writing out a check, write it out to Revival Life Church, and we're going to put it all into one offering, and 100% of this is going there. It's not like we're going to take a percentage of it, you know, an administrative fee or, you know, something. It's all going in one offering to Revival Revival Now, to David Copeland. And is it all going to Africa? No, because in between his trip to Africa, he and his wife eat. And they like it to be food every meal. And the man of God still has to pay his bills and, you know, have a life and hopefully have some retirement savings. And do you have anything you want to say?
So if you're making out a check, you make it out to Revival Life Church.
If you need an offering envelope.
If you need an offering envelope, raise your hand. One of our ushers will bring them to you. If you're going to do your offering online, just put in the subject for Revival Now or
Yeah, there's a
the
special
Copeland's.
Note section. Just put the Copeland special guest, second offering. Just make it clear what it's for. And I want you really to ask the Lord, Lord, do you want Christians in Africa? Just go ahead and ask him that right now. Jesus, is it important for you that I give into missions?
Yes.
Jesus was the most amazing missionary ever.
Yes. Yes, he was.
And so the Father sent all his kids on missions. And you know what? They died on the mission field. That's a good word right there. He's into missions. Can you turn the keyboard down just a little bit there, Gardy? I feel like I'm yelling over it. It could just be these very loud monitors. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. Are y'all ready to give? Have you asked the Lord if he wants you to give money to missions? None of, you see, when the offering comes in-house, when if it's going to stay here, we never do this. But I have no problem shaking you down to give. When we give to orphanages that he supports orphanages, you know, Christmas offerings to outside the house, it is what it is. I'm not benefiting. This isn't helping me at all.
Right.
So, you know, I'm giving. I was sitting down. I've told you this. When we give, we both get a number. Whoever has a bigger number, that's what we give. We both pray we get a number, and if one person heard too low, we give the higher number. And I sat down this morning. I'm ready, and I just felt the Holy Spirit say, you got any money in your pocket? As if he didn't know. I said, I do. He said, there's a missions offering coming up. Now put it in the mission offering. I want to hear the Lord. Amen? Stand with me if you would. Now listen, I want you to hold this, and I want you to feel like this is going to activate something in your life.
Amen.
Pastor Dave is going to preach, and I believe there's something the Lord has been doing in this house the last several weeks, and I believe limitations are coming off. I believe, you know, I said it before service, I believe that dormant gifts are going to be activated. Yes. I believe dormant calls are going to be provoked. And I want you to sow into this. I want you to have an inheritance in what's going to be shared today. So hold your offering in your hand. Come on, let's begin to pray over it. Father, this is a seed right here. And I'm planting it in the ground. But Father, in my seed is my bread. When I plant my seed in faith, I get my bread. And so, Father, we release the seed right now. We can eat the seed, but we choose to plant it that we could have a greater return, Jesus. And Father, I'm asking right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that you would touch every person today in direct proportion to their hunger. In direct proportion of their faith today, Jesus, that you would even now begin to overwhelm. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Father, receive this offering, and I declare a blessing upon the sower. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. You can come up and bring your offering. Come on up and bring your offering.
There's also a basket in the back, and there's also the online giving table. And you can still use your phone, PayPal app if you'd like.
And while you're giving, if you would, just welcome up Pastor David Copeland. Come on, stand if you would. Just honor the man of God. Give honor to him, honor is due.
You can be seated. Amen. Give the Lord a praise before you, as you're seated. Amen.
Set your hands if you would. Father.
Yes.
Wreck him. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give our pastor and his family a hand of appreciation. That was kind of weak. Let them know how much you really love them. Come on. It's okay. Yeah. Yes. 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 We love this family, and we as we met last night with some of the leaders, I often think of myself as John the Baptist, in the sense that I'm looking at the bridegroom, and he has the bridegroom. And because God is doing a tremendous work in this area, in this region. God is moving all over the earth, and so many people have so many prophetic words of what God is going to do in their lives and in local churches. I have those. Anybody have a prophetic word over your life that, yeah, I do. I do. And if you don't, maybe before this day's over with, you will. And if you will hang around this place long enough, you definitely will receive a prophetic word of what God wants to do in your life and through your life and to your life. And I want you to know that even when we're not here, we're watching and we're praying and we're interceding. And I'm just so honored to be a part of this house. We are a part of this house. And when you sow into us, and the seed that has been sowing, not just in this offering, but through your prayer and through watching us on Facebook and through the offerings that the church sends to us from time to time, you are allowing us to become a partaker of the anointing that is on this place. And wherever we go, we're releasing an impartation from Revival Life Church in Kilgores. We're releasing an impartation from Revival Life Church into this place called Lodwar. This impartation, we did a crusade in Lodwar, Kenya. It's the hottest place on the face of the earth. I'm actually convinced the gates of hell are pretty close by there, you know. It is so hot. It is so hot in this place. The Kenya pastor who took me there just a few weeks ago, back in August, he was trying to say, "Pastor David, I think we need to go back to so-and-so." I said, "Brother, you live here." He said, "I don't live here." I said, "Brother," and it's bad when you have to talk a Kenyan off the ledge, you know? While we were there, we met a young girl on Saturday night who came to us and said, "In 2011, you came and did a crusade in Lodwar town. I was 19 years old. I gave my life to Jesus. I got radically turned on to the Lord. I've led other young ladies to the Lord since that time, and now we are all leading praise and worship in churches all over this region." It was dark. We had one light in the whole town. Honest to God, we had one light in the whole town. I didn't even see this girl's face, but the Spirit of God said to me, "See, this is fruit that remains." I'm telling you, you are just as much a part, because you don't know it, but you sowed in that offering, in that first offering in which we did that crusade in Lodwar. That young lady and all the other young ladies she has led to the Lord are credited to your account in heaven. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Amen. It's good to have my girlfriend with me today. Wave, honey. She's making me look real good, real good, real good, real good. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. There's about 10,000 things running through my heart, but I realize I've been given the time, and, you know, maybe I'll just pause and pick up tonight. You know, when you're called to preach, you don't have to practice preaching. You just have to open your mouth and it comes out. Preparation is just getting yourself in tune with the Lord and then whatever comes out. Most of the time. It does meet the needs of the people that you're speaking to. Luke chapter 17 gives me a thought. And my thought is simply this: when your desire to get to Jesus, when your desire to get to Jesus, I realize that many of you are already born again, on fire for God, radically turned on. Others of you have just committed your life to Jesus, but there, I have the greatest sense this morning that there are some people here that there is a desire to get closer to God. There is a desire to sell out to God. And you have watched people as they have just radically abandoned themselves to the worship of God. And you've said, I want some of that. I want that. I want to encounter that. I want to know that what they're doing is more than just a song. More than just the drums. More than just the speed of the music. And I can tell you, it is. It is more than that. It is more than that. Luke chapter 17, verse 11, real quick. And it came to pass, let's read it out of the New King James here. It happened as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, there were 10 lepers who stood afar off, and they began to cry out, Jesus! Master, have mercy on us. And he saw them and said, go show yourself to the priest. And it was so as they went. Somebody say, as they went. Say it again, as they went. As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Other translation says he fell on his feet and began to worship. Gave him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, there were 10. Where's the rest? Where are the nine? Nobody came back to give Jesus glory except for this foreigner or this Samaritan. And he goes on to say, arise and go your way, your faith has made you well. Other translation says, your faith has made you whole. There's a lot of people that Pam and I encounter in places all over the world that they will never have an intimate relationship with the Lord because they like the attention that they receive from constantly being in need. I'm convinced some of their last names are Copeland, but I'm convinced that many people are so addicted to drama that they are afraid to really let go of issues that are in their life. Let go of sin, addictions, hang-ups. There's other people that are really wanting to be free. They really want to position themselves to receive deliverance from the Lord, but yet there's some people that will never ever completely be free and whole because they love the attention that they get from constantly being in need. I can remember so many people in my life, I could call their names, but there's something that happens when your desire to get to Jesus becomes greater than the fear of anything else. It's a desire to get to Jesus that's birthed tremendous healings, deliverances, ministries, and great victories in people's lives of every generation and of every people group. But then there's others that are afraid to really surrender to Jesus because they're afraid that He'll call them to do something that they don't want to do, like go to some godforsaken place like Lodwar, Kenya, or Kilgores, Kenya, or even Lynette, Alabama, or Columbus, Georgia. Thank you, Jesus. No Columbus, Georgia. And when God calls you to do something, most of the time it begins as a desire. God is never going to ask you to do anything that He doesn't give you the desire to do it first. Because it's that desire that will move you and motivate you and push you, if I can say it that way, out of your comfort zone. No businessman goes into business wanting to go bankrupt. No businessman goes into business wanting to go bankrupt. No pastor will start a church with the intent of that church failing or only remaining a small group of 7 or 8 or 10 people. How many people did you guys start with? You've told me, but I forgot. Like 12. Very small number. Pastor Carl and Tracy didn't begin Revival Life Church. It was known as the Mission at that time. Only to have a small group of people and say, oh, this is all I want. This is all I want. Nobody starts as a janitor in a store or a business saying, oh, I'm just going to be the janitor for the rest of my life. This is all I ever want to be. No, no, no. You went into that company saying, one day I'm going to be the CEO of this place. I'm not only going to run it, I'm going to own it. Because there is a desire that has been put in the heart of every human being. How many human beings do we have here? Some are not human. Some are aliens from another planet, not another country, another planet. There's an inherent desire inside of you to rule, to have dominion, to be something that you're not, to be something that people are telling you you cannot be. But then there is this tension that arises, and a lot of it comes from people who really can't embrace a new season. They can't embrace that they will ever be any more or anything than what they are right now. Number one, because the culture of unbelief has been so ingrained in their life that they can't embrace the fact that God will give me a new season. God does want to lift me up. I said it last night and I said it Friday night. God never leaves us the same way He finds us and in the same place that He finds us. He never does that. God has given you a desire. But then there is this tension between godly desire and fleshly desire. But a lot of it is misappropriated fear. One of the greatest hindrances that will be in your life from you accomplishing what God put you on the earth to do is fear. God has not given you, though, a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Look at your neighbor and say, God did not give you any fear. And yet out of the 4,000 documented fears that psychologists have identified, 4,000 different fears that mankind deals with, I've narrowed them down to 5. The fear of the unknown. What if I really become passionately in love with Jesus? Are people going to talk about me? They're talking about you now, hon. They're already talking about you. What if I don't? What if I do? What if I don't? The fear of the unknown. There's the fear of man. The fear of persecution and rejection. While all those are linked together, they can be very distinct and have issue problems in your life. The fear of persecution and rejection. The fear of failure. Well, who hasn't failed? Anybody who hasn't failed, raise your hand. Yeah, that's right. That's what I thought. One guy told me one time, he said, Copeland, all failure means is somebody tried to do something. History is littered, and the roadside is littered with people who had a good idea. They had a great business idea. They had a call of God on their life, and yet they rejected the call of God simply because they were afraid to fail. All failure means is somebody tried to do something. But then there's the fear of abandonment. There's unconscious fear that a lot of people deal with that says if I really step out, if I really embrace the call to missions. I faced this when I answered the call of God to go to Guyana, South America, to go to Haiti, to go to Kenya. I really faced it when I answered the call to go to Kenya in 2007 that God said, look, you're going to be working. Get ready. You're about to be going to Kenya more and more and more. And I came out of the bedroom and I told Pam, and she gave me the look. If you're married, you know what the look is from your wife. The look is always, how are we going to pay for this? And I said, I know what you're thinking. How are we going to pay for this? I don't know. I don't know how we're going to pay for it. I still don't know. I think about it sometimes, and I still don't know how we pay for it. But I know that when God calls you, He always, if He has to supernaturally, He will supernaturally provide. But there is this unconscious and unspoken fear sometimes that we'll step out on the limb and the Holy Ghost will saw the limb off behind us and we'll say, ha ha, got you where I want you. And there goes the tree. But if the tree falls, the limb will stay up. If you're out there under the leading of the Holy Ghost. I believe God wants to birth. In fact, Friday morning before I came, I shared this Friday night. That God is releasing this weekend some specific strategic strategies. Strategic strategies into our heart, into your heart. It's already begun, but the anointing this morning is just pouring gas on that strategy that you know is brewing. It's not indigestion. It's not heartburn. It's the Holy Spirit of God that is stirring gifts up on the inside of you. It's stirring vision up on the inside of you. It's stirring purpose and destiny, and it is also stirring a desire to say, you know what, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if they call me crazy. I don't even care anymore if I fail. I know that there is something out there and I'm going after God with all of my heart. Come on, praise Him for that. Amen. God woke me up in the night just a few nights ago and gave me these three simple points that you probably know them already, but they're very profound. And they're pounding in my heart right now. Number one, write this down. When your desire to get to Jesus becomes greater than the fear of being embarrassed, you'll find Him. And in reality, let me say, because some of my phraseology is going to be along those lines, but let me understand for all the religious people here and the theologians, I know that Jesus is not lost. God's not lost. We're the ones that's been lost. But just humor me and as I preach this morning, because there's so many people that have a desire for God. They have a desire to get close to God. They have a desire to serve in this fellowship. They have a desire to be known as a passionate lover of Jesus, but they're afraid that somehow God will make them do something they don't want to do. Maybe your dance is not good. I know that. Maybe... your understanding is not complete in Him. But God doesn't call perfect people. He doesn't call whole people. He doesn't call those who have everything together. God will never wait until you have every I dotted and every T crossed. He calls you when you're broke, when you don't know what you're doing, when you can't figure out what it is He's even trying to say. But that desire to get to Jesus will become greater than your fear of being embarrassed. And when it does, you will say, I don't care, I'm going after Him. I think about Bartimaeus. I love Bartimaeus. In fact, I almost preached again from Bartimaeus because I see so much of my life in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52 there. It's so much about the man was, his very name means son of an unclean person. Son of an unclean person. In fact, when every time anybody ever spoke Bartimaeus' name, they were just reinforcing, you're unclean. Your mama was unclean. Your daddy was unclean. Your kids, if you have kids, they're unclean. But yet, something happened this particular day that stirred something up in the heart of Bartimaeus that speaks to me all the way in 2014. And it was a desire to get to Jesus. You know the story. He starts crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy! mercy on me. And immediately, you know, all these people are thousands of people pulling on Jesus, tugging on Jesus. Stir. The crowd is going crazy. And this blind man who every time they spoke his name were just reinforcing who he was, what he was, and everything that he was not. Unclean, unclean. There's an unclean man. But yet, his desire to get to Jesus was greater than the fear of being embarrassed by that crowd that day. The Bible says he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And every time a searching heart begins to cry out, that religious spirit will always show up. Excuse me, do you know who you are? Excuse me, do you know who you are not? Excuse me, that's not the right way. That's not the correct way that you call out his name. You're supposed to do it this particular way and this particular way. I believe, I love to pray. You know, and when I came into the Spirit-filled movement, there was a book that had been written. I love the book, love the author. Can You Not Tarry 1 Hour? It was a book on prayer, and it did much in the late 80s and the early 90s to stir the spirit of prayer in local churches, but over a period of time, it ended up becoming a ritual and a routine and a regimented something that lost its passion. And pretty soon, people would pray, but they were told that if you didn't pray according to the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, then you wasn't really touching God. You couldn't touch God. Sometimes you don't have to say everything theologically correct. All you have to do is say, "Jesus! Anybody hearing what I'm saying today? I like being theologically correct. I do. I like praying the word. I like knowing why I believe what I believe and why I do what I do. And I'm able to articulate that in a way that is understandable to most everybody in the room. But sometimes there is this desire to get to Jesus. There is this desire to be in His presence. There is this desire to draw closer to Him. This desire for His glory to be so a part of your life that you become exactly like Him wherever you go. And all you can say is, "Jesus." And here is this whole group of people that says, "Shh, shh, 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 shh. Please. And if that had been me in another day, I'd probably, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. But yet something was inside Bartimaeus that I believe is in somebody's heart here today. It says, instead of Bartimaeus being quiet, instead of Bartimaeus shutting his mouth, instead of Bartimaeus figuring out how to do it in the right religious way, it says he began to cry out even more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And out of the thousand plus people that was in that crowd that day who had to have been crying out for Jesus' name, this is the only guy in that crowd that caused Jesus to stop what he was doing. Say, "Oh, whoa, 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 whoa." It almost reminds me of that woman that had the issue of blood. I think about her all the time, and I think there's this recurring thought that's going over in my heart that makes me want to tell somebody here, don't let your now stop you from getting your next. Don't let your now stop you from getting to your next. And I don't have time to preach all that, but that'd be good. He's standing there, and out of all of the people, just like this woman that had the issue of blood, people pulling and tugging. Jesus' bodyguards around. You know, they I imagine they had the earpiece and talking in the wrist, you know, and all that kind of stuff going on. And yet, out of all these people that's pulling on Jesus, here's this woman that's crawling through a crowd on her hands and knees and reaches out and touches the hem of his tallit. And Jesus stops what he was doing and said, "Who touched me?" And I can imagine in my own mind, I can imagine Peter looking and said, "Seriously? He's kidding, right? 10,000 people screaming and tugging and pushing on you. And you said, somebody, Jesus, are you brain dead or what?" Yet it's not just a touch. It's a touch that reflects a desire down on the inside. Because that woman had the same desire Bartimaeus did. She could have been stoned. She could have been arrested. She could have been put in prison. She could have been killed on the spot for touching the rabbi, for touching the man of God in her contaminated state. Yet when your desire to get to Jesus becomes greater than your fear of being embarrassed, you won't care what your praise looks like. You don't care what your worship will sound like. You won't care what you're praying will act like. All you know is, Jesus, I gotta have you. I figure there's enough dead churches around already. We don't need another dead church that's just replicating and regurgitating all the dead stuff that everybody else is saying. People are looking for something. They want to be around people who are not just passionate for passion's sake or on fire for fire's sake, but they have something on the inside of them that says, I know it looks unusual. I know it may not sound dignified. It may not even be completely theologically or religiously correct. All I know is there is something in me that wants to connect with the real living Jesus. He's not dead. He's not a dead Jesus. He's alive. And he's alive forevermore. Somebody give him a praise for that. Oh, Jesus. When your desire to get to Jesus becomes greater than the fear of embarrassment, you're going to find him. Secondly, when your desire to get to Jesus becomes greater than the fear of rejection, you're going to push through. And you will find him. I think about Matthew 15. That woman that had the Syrophoenician woman. She wasn't even a Jew. She wasn't even born in the right nation. Born in the wrong place at the wrong time to the wrong family in the wrong city, wrong state, wrong. You know, the same devil that operates in Alabama, you know, he operates in South Florida. Tells people, oh, no, you was born in the wrong family. Your mama is this, your daddy is this, you're not this, you're not that, you're in the wrong church, you've got the wrong pastor, you got the wrong spouse, you got the wrong job, you got the wrong car, you're living wearing the wrong clothes. You know, it's crazy, but the same devil that whispers junk in people's ears where I live, they're whispering it in some of your ears too. Because nobody wakes up in the morning and puts this sign on that says, I'm such a bad man of God. I'm such a wonderful woman of God. I don't care if anybody messes with me. I don't care if anybody rejects me. I don't care if anybody makes fun of me. I don't care. Oh, I can take it. You stupid. I think the kids are out. So. Nobody wakes up every morning and says, my ultimate purpose today is to find everybody who will reject me. Yeah. No. Everybody wants to be embraced as being valid. Everybody, you know, I don't care how strong you are, everybody at some point in time in the day is going to need somebody to come up to them and say, I believe in you. I know that God is for you and not against you. I know you may not be doing it right. There's nobody doing it 100% right. Say amen. Now, being rejected for preaching the gospel is one thing. For standing for truth and righteousness is one thing. But when you're trying to get to Jesus and to have those same people reject you, and this time it was the disciples. She's crying out, Jesus, I got a daughter at home. She's possessed. Help me, please. If you can do anything, have mercy on us. Jesus just kind of zoned out. He's just ignoring. The disciples are getting irritated. I imagine Peter's whipping out the sword. He's about to cut her head off. Him and these swords really got into it, you know, got him into trouble. And finally, the disciples had enough, and they looked at Jesus and said, would you do something? Say, do something with this woman. And listen to what Jesus said. You can find it in Matthew 15. He looks at her and he said, it's not good for me to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Now, if that had been Pam Copeland or David Copeland or Megan and Missy, and they're a married name now, forget. That would have hurt their feelings so bad. How dare Jesus call me a dog? I can't believe he called me a dog. You know, people have left churches for crazier reasons. At least your pastor hadn't called you a dog. Hey, you know, he might have. No, I don't want to say that. You know, not today. Yeah. Can you imagine what was going through this girl's mind? Here she's got a daughter, demon-possessed. No doubt she had tried every other thing to get her daughter delivered and made whole. And yet she heard Jesus was coming by. And she, I got to try it. And she cried out and cried out and cried out and continued to cry out. And Jesus, when he finally decided to show her attention, dog. But instead of her getting offended, instead of her misunderstanding, instead of her getting her feelings hurt, she knew in her heart that he had exactly and he was exactly what she needed in her daughter's life. And she said, you are telling the truth, Jesus. You do, you know exactly. If she had lived in Boca, she would have said, Jesus, you know exactly where I live. Oh, yeah, that's good. Truth, Lord. Listen to what she says. Then she says, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Jesus wasn't trying to belittle her. Jesus was not mocking her. Jesus was not pushing her away. What he was doing, call it reverse psychology or whatever you want to call it, but what he was doing is he was drawing her to a place of desperate faith. To a level of faith that said, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if he rejects me 1,000 times. I'm going to keep crying out because I know he's the answer. He not only has the answer, he is the answer. See, I have the greatest sense that some of you in here, you've been seeking the Lord. You've been reaching out for the Lord. You've been pursuing God. But you don't realize that just as hard, if not harder, in fact, I would say harder than your pursuit of Him has been His pursuit of you. Something greater than your pursuit of Jesus is Jesus' pursuit of you. And if you're here today and you think that, man, God's just jerking my chain. He's playing with me. He's messing with me. He's, you know, and religion will tell you, you don't measure up. You've not done enough. You've done too much. Isn't it crazy how what the devil says? You've either done too much or not enough. Which is too much sin or not enough godliness. Well, how do you get rid of both? Relationship with Him. Falling in love with Him. And because she would not allow that fear of being rejected, Jesus looked at her and said, in Alabama, he would say, you got it, girl. You got it. Your daughter is made whole. And she went back home. She went back home and found out from the very moment Jesus uttered those words, her daughter was completely delivered. Somebody say amen. See, many people will never know a living relationship with the living God because religion has ingrained us to believe that God is looking for any reason whatsoever to send us to hell. And even after some of us have been born again, we have thought that we must live a life of semi-torment to be holy enough for him or to earn enough righteousness, but will never earn, do enough, pray enough, give enough, sing enough, speak in tongues enough to get him to love us any more than he does right now. And I'm telling you, he's chasing you even harder than you are chasing him. And lastly, when your desire to get to Jesus becomes greater than the fear of doing it wrong, you'll find him and he will find you. Come on, Mike. I love this story. But some people can't receive a message of a new season or a new day, or that God has something brand new for their life, because of three things. Number one, again, as I said a while ago, the culture of unbelief has been so ingrained in them that there's just no way that they could allow faith to arise to say, yes, this is my day for a breakthrough. This is my day for deliverance. This is my day that I come face to face with destiny. Or the pain is so great in their life, the pain will just not allow them to receive a word from the Lord. But then others can't hardly receive the message of a new day or victory or breakthrough, or that desire that is in your heart to get to Jesus is put there by God. But there's a desire in Jesus to get to you that's even greater than what's in you to get to him. Because they just feel like the package that message is coming in is not good enough. Out of all of these lepers that we could diagnose, if we could rip this passage apart and do a word study on it and dig some powerful, powerful truths out of these 10 lepers, here's the one I want you to know. Two things. Number one, don't be afraid of the process. Don't be afraid of the process. I love the instantaneous. Somebody's going to get whacked instantaneously in just a minute. I got whacked Friday night. Glory to God. They say we tore something up at the office. I still don't know. I was whacked out. And I love those encounters with the Lord. But listen to me. Even if you don't have this dramatic encounter in which the Holy Ghost picks you up and throws you across the room and bounces you off the wall and you come up and you're not hurt, let me tell you something. The process of you getting here is just as great as him picking you up and whacking you against the wall. Everything about the kingdom of God is a process. Even my encounter with the Lord Friday night, an encounter I had just a while ago in the back room, has been a process of me getting to that point. The kingdom of God is a seed. Starts as a seed, then it becomes an ear. Then Mark said it carries the full corn in the ear. And when you look at a grain of corn, one grain of corn, what you can't see is the potential that lies on the inside of that. But unless that seed is delivered into the process, see, that's something we struggle with. Can I tell you, I struggle with the process of God. But I know if I will just keep my hands off of what God is doing and just stay faithful to Him, stay faithful to Him, it won't be long until you realize that you're actually closer in your walk with God than you were a year ago. And the second thing that comes out of this story is, are you willing to give Him all the glory for what happens in your life? See, the process for these other 9 lepers, they were doing religiously and theologically at that time everything that was correct. They were to go and offer up the sacrifice for the cleansing of leprosy. But yet there was something in this one guy who was a Samaritan, who is basically a half-breed Jew. Wasn't full-blooded anything. Wasn't a full-blooded Jew. Wasn't a full-blooded Gentile. He was messed up. He's just like Bartimaeus. Like this Syrian woman that had this demon-possessed daughter. And yet he came and he fell at Jesus' feet and he began to worship him and he gave him thanks. Jesus said, "What's the deal here?" And he looked at the guy and he said, "Your faith has made you whole." When your desire to get to Jesus becomes greater than the fear of being embarrassed, becomes greater than the fear of rejection, when it becomes greater than the fear of failure or the fear of doing it wrong, I'm telling you, you're going to collide. You're going to come face to face with Him. You're going to meet Him in a way that He's been longing to meet with you for a long, 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 long time. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love You, Lord. I thank You for the anointing that is in this place. I thank You that the Holy Spirit has been gently and sometimes violently pulling and tugging at our heart. And Lord, for some, they have been just overwhelmed at what they have sensed and felt this morning. Others have been taken aback by it because it's just been something that they're not accustomed to. They're just, this, it's actually weirded them out in a way, but they're still here because there's something on the inside. There is a desire in their heart to connect with Jesus. I say to you again, your desire to get to Jesus is good, but I'm telling you, His desire to get to you is even greater than your desire to get to Him. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, there's something on you. You feel like somebody's here today and you feel like you're having a panic attack. That's not a panic attack. You're not having an anxiety attack. That's the Holy Spirit saying, "Look, I've got something for you today. I've got something for you today." But if you're here today and you have never asked Jesus into your heart, would you just slip up your hand all over this place? All over this place. Just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Pray for me, preacher. God bless you, sir. Pray for me. I've never asked Jesus into my life, and I want to. I want to ask Him to be the Lord of my life today. If that's you, just slip up your hand and back down. I'm going to invite you to come forward, but you don't even have to come. I'll send somebody to meet you in just a minute. So please don't leave. Pray for me. Pray for me. I want to get, I want to connect with Jesus for the very first time. Anyone else? Anyone else? You're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I have a hunger and a thirst for God that I cannot articulate. I cannot explain it. I can't explain it. All I know is my desire to get to Jesus. I'm at the end of my road. Maybe you need a breakthrough in your life. Maybe you need understanding on what the plan of God is for the rest of your life. Maybe you just come in this place and you have been in such a state of confusion. You've been in such a state of confusion that you can't figure out what it is. But yet Jesus is calling you. He's calling you. Is that you? Is that you? Is that you? Hands are going up all over the place. I want to challenge you. Meet me down in this altar. Would you come? We just want to pray with you. We're not going to let anybody do anything weird to you. We're not going to take you in a back room and feed you poison Kool-Aid or nothing like that. We just want to pray for you and believe that God wants to touch you. Amen? God wants to touch you. God wants to have an encounter with you even more than you want to. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Prayer team, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? Would you come? Come on, let's give the Lord a clap for these that are coming today. Hey, yeah! I want to wait just a second. Would you come? There's others that God's speaking to you. I have a desire to get to Jesus. There is something in my heart that says I've got to get to Him today. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else, would you come? Look, prayer team, I want you to see who's here. I want somebody to find these people when we get through. Sam, help me. Corey, I want somebody to find these people. Not that we're just trying to keep score, but we want to help you because, brother man, I believe it. Even though I don't know, you never seen you before, I'm telling you, God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Even in the midst of all of the confusion that you have experienced and gone through, the abuse, don't allow the abuse of other people stop you from encountering Jesus. Can we pray this prayer together all over this place? Lord Jesus, come on, pray it out loud. Lord Jesus, I come before you today. I receive you as my Lord, as my Savior, as my Master. I have a desire to connect with you, Jesus. I have a desire to know you, Jesus, that is greater than the fear of being embarrassed. It's greater than the fear of being rejected. It's greater than the fear of doing it wrong. I come to you, Jesus, and I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. I receive you. I receive you. I receive you. Come on, stretch your hands this way.